But yeah, I saw it and I was like, this looks just like an N64 box art.
Yeah, so. Shiny.
I think I just wet myself a little bit with semen. Oh my god.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 61 of the Thought Patrol podcast. We have come back this week with Sam, Sean, and I. We are all together over the Discords, as always. And I have no idea what we're going to be talking about this week. Nothing has fucking happened at all this entire week. There's a few things we can get into, maybe. But we'll bring them up as we get closer to that point. But yeah, let's go ahead and start with everyone's week. We'll start with Sean, since I always managed to forget him. How's your week been, Sean?
It's been halfway decent. Had some good times watching / playing stuff with the Thought Patrol crew. And I've been looking for a new job, because my old job is Dookie, as we've discussed many times. I saw Ant-Man and Wasp today, which was super awesome. And yeah, I'm pretty much done. Next.
What about you, Sam? How you been?
I've been good. Just been playing some games. I haven't really watched any new movies. The last new movie I watched was Happened to Me, Ant-Man and Wasp, so that was pretty good. Just been playing through Chasm, that new indie game that dropped. It's good. A little frustrating with some of the platforming. But what's keeping me grounded is just the aesthetics. I love the art style. But there are some problems with it. I wouldn't say it's perfect, but I've been waiting for it for like 5 years. So I'm like, might as well just keep playing it. And then I've been dabbling into No Man's Sky a little bit. I'm starting to like it. It hasn't really grabbed me yet, but I just, the overall aesthetic and the overall, like, just feel of it, just being able to go on a planet, go off a planet, blow up some rocks, stuff like that, I'm really enjoying.
Sounds like a blast.
Yeah.
You know, blow up some rocks.
I know, I'm making it sound, you know, the best game ever, but no, seriously, like, it's kind of relaxing. It's kind of like just a game you can play while you're listening to something or watching something, so it's just a nice little time waster.
It's a podcast game.
pretty much. And then I think that's it for games. Like I said, I've been trying to get through my backlog of, like, free PlayStation Plus stuff. Trying to hold off buying anything for a while because I'm trying to save money, and I'm really debating when I'm going to get this fall. Like, I'm only thinking about getting a couple of games, because if I try to get everything, I'm going to go broke, and I don't want to go broke. So I'm like really like already starting now before September rolls around to decide what I want to get. So that's going to be a challenge. I played some disc golf yesterday with my dad again. That was really fun. We played with a couple of guys from our church. I made a ridiculous shot that I don't think will ever happen again, but it's just a memory that I'll have now. And if I never do well at disc golf again, I really don't care. I just made an awesome shot. So that's all I care about with that. But anyway, other than that, I've been a pretty good week so far.
That's good. Glad you guys were able to join me. Glad all you guys tuning in for episode 61 were able to join us. We do appreciate it. Sit back, relax for the next... Oh, I have no idea how long this episode will be either. We'll find out as we move forward. my week's been good. I've been playing a lot of games, actually. Been really enjoying what I have been playing. As Sean said earlier, we have been continuing these streams that we do weekly, which have been... always a blast. It's always a blast to hang out with you guys out there. I know Sam stops by. I know Marshall stops by. We've had Frost stop by a bunch of times. And I know Handsome Jack stopped by, too. It's been a blast hanging out with you all and playing some games. Friday night was an interesting fucking night because we were playing some spooky games. And we had one that was pretty much a virus. Just not just not malicious.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And it completely fucked my computer and melted it down to its core. That VOD should also still be up if you guys ever want to see stuff that you might have missed. And that sounds interesting, seeing my computer melt down live. Well, I guess not anymore, but you know what I mean. That'd be over at twitch.tv/ThoughtPatrol. One word. We would appreciate you guys checking us out. We do stream every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and now I've added Saturday nights as well to the streams. So if any of those days you guys can make it, it is Eastern Standard Time at 9 p.m. usually. So most of the states should be okay. If you're in the European Union, I'm sorry. I mean, it's just not possible for me to stream earlier in the day at my current position. But if we ever get to...
But if you guys give us tons of money... We will be able to stream at any time of day you want, so keep that in mind.
That does
for our affluent viewers.
Exactly.
We will prostitute ourselves for money.
Exactly. But it's been fun. I've had Sean on, just the recent stream, and the one before that too, I think. But he's been on. We've been playing. We'd like to usually end the streams with a heavily... I just hit myself in the face with my pen. With a heavily narrative kind of experience, so like Valhalla, and we recently finished Valhalla, which has still left a hole in my heart, but we have moved on to the Red Strings Club, which is kind of along the same lines, although a little bit more involved, and we've been enjoying that too. Again, we do that for like the final hour of every stream, and just kind of us sitting together in a call, voice acting, hanging out, and hanging out with all you guys as well. It's been a blast. It's been really fun, and I'm excited to continue. We're still playing Yakuza. Oh, but like I was saying, games that I've been playing. Yakuza 0 has been fucking awesome. I think I talked about it last week too. But one game I played recently that really just stroked my penis, like in all the good ways, is A Hat in Time. And I've actually completed it as of now. I still want to go back and do some of the community levels, but I've put about 12 hours into the game in order to 100% it. It is a smaller game. It is also an indie game. But it's basically take everything that made 3D Mario games good and compile it all into a new, charismatic, and fresh experience. And that's exactly what you have for A Hat in Time. And... like, if I were to give it a score, like, right now, like, I, in all honesty, the only problem I have with it, was that it was too short, pretty much. An 11-hour game. I don't know how long it took to beat Sunshine, but once you kind of get the idea of the mechanics, the game goes by a little bit faster because you're starting to blow through the levels. They don't take as long for you to kind of maneuver, I guess. And usually with platformers, I have a good understanding of them as a whole, and once I get the mechanics down, I can blow through levels quite quickly. So if it's someone that's not as experienced, it would take you closer to maybe 15 to 20 hours, depending on how good or bad you are at platformers. But that'd probably be the only complaint I had. Everything else of the game, like, I had a huge-ass smile from, like, cheek to cheek on my face playing through the entire game. Every single moment of it was enjoyable and just super exciting and new. And one really cool thing is it's almost like every time you went to a new world, I think there's four or five worlds in the game, and every new world was like a brand new game practically. So say you start on the first world, it's called Mafia Town, and it handles like a normal 3D Mario level. You get dropped in, there's a bunch of shit going on at all times, and then there's different missions you complete to get the stars, but in this they're hourglasses in this game. And then you get to the second world, and straight up the world is cut in half, and you find out there's just two sides of birds. It's like a bird planet. There's these two sides of bird races that are vying to win this movie, almost like an Oscar or whatever the fuck, but it's for birds. And it splits right down in half, and you get two sets of levels, and they're all towards creating movies. And each movie's got, so like one is like a Murder on the Orient Express kind of thing. Another one's like a, like a Western movie, and you play through these levels and both these two dudes are fighting for control and you're starring in both of their movies. So as you play through the levels, you're basically playing through like super cliched movie genres and stuff like that. And just going to the level you were normally, but one of them is literally a murder mystery. So you're going through this train and you're collecting data and it's like, or you're collecting evidence and it's like a stealth game and you're trying to like, there's people looking for you and you're trying to hide and you're trying to find out who the murderer is. And it's all one fucking level. That's one level. And then each level adds something new and some kind of experience. Like they had this one parade level and it was a... You get a conductor uniform and you have like six dudes that follow you around in like a line and they just continue to follow you throughout the level. So the idea is you have to keep moving or you'll constantly take damage from this like trail that follows you around, and you're completing objectives and just trying to keep move as fast as possible so you're not taking damage while avoiding other things. You got like projectiles flying at you, and that was again all one level. They have one world that's literally like an open world where it's like free roam. You just drop in and do whatever the hell you want. And it works almost like a Ubisoft game where there's different areas that you just complete and then they get completed and you see on the map by like lights that shine up that you know which areas you've done. It's just a big open map that you can explore. There's one that's like entirely horror themed and it actually has like a mansion you go through that is quite terrifying. Like it's actually like genuinely creepy and dark about like this woman that like put her prince in or something, like her prince went off and flirted with another dude, so she captured him and put him in and she turned into this evil woman. And like you're sneaking through the house literally like a horror game, you're hiding where you can, and it's all exists within like a 3D platformer. So it just takes a bunch of ideas from other games and makes them work in its world. And it's just so much fucking fun. Like everything about the game, it has like a charm and just fun aspect to it, which it just forces you to smile the entire time. And it's just so much. It is incredible. Like I can't like I fucking love this game. It is so good. And I'm sad because as good as Mario Odyssey was, when A Hat in Time came out, which was around the time Odyssey came out, I got Odyssey first. I still haven't finished Odyssey, but like I just have enjoyed A Hat in Time so much more that like it blew me away. I was not expecting to enjoy the game as much as I did, and it's just so much. It's so fucking good. Besides that, I'd give that game a 10 out of 10. 10 little girls with mustaches out of 10. I'll do that. Just an awesome game.
The best kind.
Jesus. No, I I recommend if you can get the game to get it on PC, because on everything else it's capped at 30 frames. Now that's not awful, but for a game where like the controls are super responsive and feel like good, it's a good game to play. 60 FPS is obviously desirable because it increases that responsiveness that the game was built around. With 30, you're kind of a little bit slower. It's not awful. You'll still be able to enjoy the game and beat the game. But if you can get it on PC, I recommend getting it on PC. If you get it on Switch or PS4, I don't know if it's on Xbox. If you get in those platforms, it's locked at 30 FPS. So just to keep that in mind, I heard that they had issues optimizing the game for consoles. Don't know why. I don't know. Maybe something with Unreal. I have no clue. What it was, because the game's visually quite simplistic. It's very cartoony and stuff along those lines, so there might have been something, maybe a time constraint. I have no clue what they went through to get those games ported over, but I'm super excited. I think they're called Gears for Breakfast. Is that what the name of the studio
is?
Yes,
Gears for Breakfast, yep.
I'm super excited to see what they have next. If they make a second A Hat in Time, I would love to see that, just to continue expanding upon the original. We're making more worlds that are interesting and just genuinely, like, engaging. Because that was one of the things, like, one of the issues, like, compared to Odyssey. Now, this game is also a lot shorter. Odyssey has more worlds, probably double that. But every Odyssey world, a lot of it was they just kind of looked different. And there would be maybe a mechanic here or there introduced. Whereas in A Hat in Time, when you're moving worlds, it's like, it literally feels like you're switching games. Like, you're moving to an entirely new game that introduces a whole bunch of different concepts that were just pulled from all these different things, which I think adds to the charm as well. Where Odyssey, a lot of it was everything kind of stayed within the world that was set up in the first area. There's like a set of rules they set up, and everything kind of adhered to those rules for the rest of the game. Whereas where the biggest change would probably be the gravity that's introduced, or the enemies that you take over, or the lack of gravity, I guess, on the moon. Whereas this game, it's just like, again, it's completely revamping everything you thought you knew and adding more for you to do and ways to interact with the world and stuff like that. And the game has like the third world was the ghost one. It's like genuinely dark. Like, you get a hookshot eventually, and like you can hook onto these nooses that are just hanging around, because why not? It's like a spooky forest kind of theme. And the nooses will talk to you. They have like the spirits of the last person they hung, or either that or the noose itself has a spirit that like talks to you. It's like, and they're like just like sitting there. You're like swinging. It was like little girl, like 8-year-old girl swinging, trying to just move forward. It's like, man, if I could have a cute neck like yours in here, I'd love that, or some shit like that. Oh, yeah. It's like super fucking creepy, but it's just something about it. It has like this odd charm to it. You just want to keep exploring what these devs put in the game. Yeah. And it's so awesome. I was blown away. I was not expecting to be anywhere near as good as it was. It was insane. So I fucking adore that game, and I love it. Again, 10 girls with little girls with mustaches out of 10. Really awesome game, and I highly recommend you play it. If the idea of Mario has ever brought you joy in your past, you need to play this game. It's really fucking good, and the music's banging. Like, one of the boss fights has a like an awesome song in it. It's called "That Your Contract Has Expired," I think. It's also in the spooky area, but you eventually fight the dude. The way you played through that area, it's not just like start a mission, but you start, and he steals your soul and makes you sign a contract. And so it's almost like you're given a quest, and you go do the quest, and he keeps making you sign contracts every time you see him again. And that's how you progress through the acts. It's not just like pop back out to the mission select screen, and now you just go to the next level like you would in like Mario or something like that. It's just like, it's like you're going through almost like a quest log with these different contracts so you could get your soul back, and stuff like that. It's just everything introduces something new. It's really cool. I'm thinking, what else? What other games did I play? Holy shit. That game just took so much of my like time. We played the horror games. I don't know if I said it last week on stream, but we did have a small indie developer contact us. They're called Blackhound Studios, about their horror game they're making called Absinthe that's coming out in November. We played that a little bit on stream. It is horribly buggy and riddled with just a mess, but it is pre-alpha. So it's understandable. It's not till November that it's coming out, so they still have like 3 months to patch a lot of it out. and that's why they wanted us to do it, I'm assuming. Get people testing their game. Then they both companies, both the streamer and the company, gets free exposure, kind of. And then the company gets to see, like, through VODs, what's going on, what's broken with their game, what isn't. But we played that on stream. It was okay. Again, I wasn't able to get too far. We got stuck. Like, it was me and chat sitting there for like 30 minutes trying to figure out this one safe combination, and we couldn't get it to work, so we just gave up and switched to another game. But I think Friday nights are probably my favorite amongst the nights that we do, just because I like indie horror, and I like the things that can be. Usually a lot of the time you get shit. Almost reminds me of anime, where like a lot you're like kind of paddling through a bunch of shit until you find like a diamond in the rough. That's kind of that's the same relationship I have with anime. So that was good. I don't think I've played anything else. I played a little bit of Conan Exiles. It's okay. I got it with the same bundle that A Hat in Time came with. I said I was going to do it before. I did actually pick up Monster Hunter World for PC. I got it. It was on sale plus a 10% discount I get from, Humble Bundle. I got it for like 40 something bucks. So that's cool. I'm excited to get back into that, I guess. We'll be doing it mostly on stream. We'll be doing it. The initial grind is not going to get me excited. I'm excited to see all the post-launch content. And I think the higher frame rate and the increased textures, or the better textures, I think that might keep me interested long enough to get past the initial grind and start moving in. I'm going to pick a, I might go ranged even just because I could use a mouse, or I might stick with Kinsect Blade because you need precision with that too. And it was really hard to like, you'll have like a monster flailing around trying to eat you and shit. And you're trying to hit him with this little bug, like the size of your fist. And you're trying to hit his like hind leg or whatever to get the final buff to power up your stupid blade. And you just keep hitting his wing, or you hit his tail, or you hit his ass, or but you just can't hit his hind leg to save your life, and you can't get that final buff to power up your sword. But that might be a little bit easier with the precision that a mouse can afford you. I don't know. I'll see. But I'm not going to do what I did playing it on PS4, because then that'd be boring. So I'm going to pick a whole different weapon, learn a new weapon, maybe do like Gunlance or something. I heard they're pretty busted. Do something like that to keep it fresh. And most of that game will probably be played on stream. We might, I don't know how we're going to do it, but I'm going to continue to do that and finish Yakuza. But that's pretty much been my week. Haven't seen any movies. Just been working, doing school, and playing video games. That's about it. But I would not have it any other way. And I think that's about it. I'm glad, again, that everyone can join me, both to listen to our voices and to speak with me directly here tonight. You two beautiful men with gigantic feet. I do appreciate you all for stopping by. I'd suck on your middle toe any day. So, Sean's like,
okay.
Emoji. All right, let's move on to our intro. Or no, I did intro. I meant our, God damn it, I'm a mess.
Housekeeping.
So, as we said before, Twitch streams. If you want something that's not a podcast, but involves us here at the Thought Patrol podcast, feel free to check out our Twitch streams. We play games there. We have fun. Friday nights are particularly cool just because you get to see Kyle kind of shit his pants from games that he should not shit his pants at, just because I'm a bitch when it comes to horror games. It's a very love-hate relationship. I don't want to talk about it. But definitely check that out. Feel free to drop us a follow. We're trying to get closer and closer to 100 followers. We might do something special once we get there. We may not. I have no idea. We got to get there first, though. Right now we're sitting at like 62-ish, which is pretty good. But just trying to rack up the follower count. Trying to get consistent viewers, stuff like that, so we can grow, which is always difficult on Twitch. But that'd probably be the best way to see stuff, just because YouTube is hard to do with my time schedule. It's very hard to sit down and edit videos for hours on end to make them funny, compared to sitting down and just playing a game and interacting live with everybody. It's much easier to do Twitch. I do intend to do YouTube videos eventually, although they might just continue to be Twitch highlights. I have no idea what's going to happen there. But if you're listening to us on YouTube and you want content from us and that you're not getting on YouTube, obviously, feel free to check out the Twitch. Hopefully the schedule will fit with your guys' schedule. You never know. Also, we do have a Discord. You want to come by and say hi to the community and the host of the Thought Patrol podcast, you feel free to do it that way. Also, you can go there to leave us mailbag questions. If you do anything, if you have anything that you do yourself, whether it be Twitch, YouTube, stuff like that, there's a section for that, dropping that, so the host can check it out or other members of the community can look at the stuff that you produce. If we speak about anything on this podcast that interests you or that you have an opinion on, feel free to leave a comment below so we can see what you guys are thinking out there. Also, feel free to subscribe either to the YouTube channel or to the podcast service that you're listening to us on. We are quite all over the place. Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and a few other ones that are smaller. You can quite literally get us anywhere into your beautiful eardrums. We also have a Twitter over at Thought Patrol PD. You can check us out there for announcements when we go live on Twitch. Anything that we're doing, if we intend to do more community game nights, which we have done in the past. I know we had a Fortnite one that we did and stuff like that. We'd love to do that with you guys. And finally, iTunes reviews. If you want to get super freaky with us and get in our pants, feel free to leave us an iTunes review. That would help us out, help us grow. Now, I haven't checked in ages, but I'm going to look to see if we have any. I highly doubt it, but I'm going to look to see if we have any More reviews. Oh, I think we have a sixth. Wait a second here, boys. Okay, I think it was... We have... From our boy, we do have a new review. This is a long time ago, July 11th. I apologize. It's just, you check so many times that you just give up that you're ever going to get anything. But this is from Aphrodisiac 1432335. He says, awesome, 5 stars. And the only thing he left, he might be a fan, is love you, Sean. So Sean's got a secret admirer out there. I wonder, do you know an aphrodisiac 1432335?
To date, I don't think I have any friends with numbers in their names.
Listen here, but, boy.
Well, it sounds like I do now.
We appreciate the rating, though.
And I love you too, aphrodisiac 1696969.
Yes, dude.
But I don't remember the number. I'm sorry.
We appreciate your throwing help our way in that manner. You know, reviews always help.
Oh, yeah. You guys rock.
Yeah.
We would not be nearly as awesome if we didn't have awesome Rockstar Ninja Pirates alongside of us.
That's probably the best quote I've heard of this generation.
Thank you.
Had a single tear roll from both my eye and my cock. One can say I am erect. All right. So, with that out of the way, do we have a mailbag? Did you send us a mailbag, Sam?
I did.
You did. I remember seeing it. See, I got so mad that Sean was late that I just stormed off and went to say, fuck it, and do other things. And I don't know where it is, but we're going to pull it up real quick because I know where I can find it. Professional, as always. Now Streamlabs sends you stats for your stream, and it really depresses me because it's like, oh, you had an average viewer count of like 3. I'm like, oh. Hey, you got to start somewhere. Where's Sam's question? Here we go. Well, we don't have a K. Do you want to be K, Sam? Can you give me like a Valley Girl? I think that's what Cam was doing with it, right?
Yeah, sure.
All right, Sean, what I'm going to do for you, since the question's not on the thing, I'm just going to put it in the Discord convo. Hopefully this works.
What question is not on the... What are you talking about?
The mailbag question.
It's not in the doc.
I could put it there. Never mind, because this isn't going to work. Don't worry, all. Technical difficulties. We love you. Stand by. All right. There it is. It's in the doc now. We're going to start with the narrator.
Where in the doc is it?
Give a second to update. It's in the mailbag segment. If while we sit here and wait for everything to update.
Narrator thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The long ass, like, 6-paragraph thing we got to read? Yeah, that thing.
Oh, God.
All right. So while we wait for everyone to get situated, if you want to send us a mailbag question, have it read on the podcast, it could be literally anything. We're practically doing a D&D session here. You could ask us how many pubic hairs we have, something
along the... What is it with you and pubic hairs? Like, you constantly come back to the pubic hair thing.
I love them, dude. They're so small and curly. If you have anything that you want to ask us that you want us to talk about on the podcast, it could be literally anything. We really don't give a shit. Like, have we ever murdered someone? Have you ever thought about murdering someone? Anything along those lines, we will answer it. We will give you our honest opinions or feedback on it. And we'd love to hear from you guys. You could do that in a couple of ways. You could do it on Discord, as we said earlier. You could send us an email at thoughtpatrolcast@gmail.com. You send it to us Twitter with the at thoughtpatrolpd with the hashtag TPmailbag. Whatever way is easy for you guys, and we will take it. We'll put it in the next episode, and we'll read it on the air. Like I was saying. So, are we all good?
I shit you not. This is the longest fucking question we have ever received, and the question doesn't even happen until the end. Like, it's so... so much. It's so extra.
All right.
There it is. Cue that clip, boy. All right, I'm good. What am I doing now?
You're our narrator. You're narrator and Seamus.
I'm narrator.
And Seamus.
Ah, right.
Narrator was...
Oh, yeah, 80s. Yeah, 80s cartoon action narrator. I remember.
And Seamus was typical dwarf. And then, so Kay will be Sam.
The first time I did him very differently. And then you begged me to not do that again.
That might have been true. and I sound like Batman. See. All right. We ready? All right. We all ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Get it, Sean.
Bo stood there holding the nefarious scroll, having answered the question, waiting for something to happen. A moment later, a dark, swirling mass appeared out of thin air before the trio of adventurers. The menacing portal emanated a dark, sinister feeling that shivered down Bo and Seamus's spines, respectively. Kay looked at the portal with a quizzical expression, almost realizing some sort of revelation.
When the way you said that, respectively, it makes me think that, like, since you're a dwarf, I just have you on my back. I just piggyback your ass around, being all, like, grumpy and dwarf-like. All right, my bad, continue.
It's just familiar. Like us in real life.
Yeah, exactly.
This looks familiar. I've seen this somewhere, but I can't put my finger on it.
What the blazes do you mean by that, Lassie? Have you been messing with my dark ma- Oh, sorry. My dark. With dark magic, have you? If you better stay away from me.
Listen, you two. I know this might be sketchy, but if this helps me seek redemption, then I say we proceed forward. Plus, you want to get paid, right?
Who wants to go in first?
I'll do it.
Bo began walking toward the pitch-black portal with a timidness that was made evident by his buckling knees and the copious amounts of sweat beating from his forehead underneath his wizard's circlet. As he took his step,
I love this.
Into the gaping portal starfish, he had the sensation of being dragged by a wild animal and fell to the ground with the lower half of his body already in the portal itself. Seamus and Kay rushed over and grabbed his hands, pulling him back.
What are you doing? We have to go through this thing. Let me go.
As the words left his mouth, all three adventurers were sucked into the goddamn As the words left his mouth, all three adventurers were sucked into the black mass. I can't do it. I can't. The next few seconds felt like an eternity as the group flew through the nether of emptiness. Sam, the nether of emptiness was the gateway of the portal. Goddamn. I'm trying so hard not to make butthole jokes. Okay. I got it. I'm good. Then a light pierced the dark.
God damn it.
I love you, Sam.
Then a light pierced the dark. I can't.
You pierced my darkness.
And the group landed on a stone floor. As he got his bearings, Seamus stood up and began surveying the surrounding area, which was easy enough to understand where he and the other two were. A dungeon.
Well, what of it now? Thanks so much, Letty. What are we going in a godforsaken dungeon? Who knows what's down here? This is why I hate magic!
Whoa. Come on, narrator.
The dungeon itself was old and made of ancient stone none of them could identify. The smell of death and dread filled their nostrils. The ground was littered with bones of different races and creatures. Chains hung from the walls with manacles housing skeletons that were completely dry.
Hey, can't have any
God
wet.
Damn those moist skeletons,
yeah, I know,
right?
Can't have any fucking wet skeletons in my dungeon.
Now, fuck that noise. When the trio had took in all the evil scenery, a bright light appeared before them, lighting the entire dungeon. What stood before them was a radiant figure in white clothes. The light dimmed slightly, and the figure came clear into view. A tall female elf with flowing blonde hair emerald-colored eyes.
Waifu.
She was dressed in white robes, as I previously mentioned,
and wore a gold circlet. The figure looked at Bo and spoke in a soft, calming voice.
All right, who wants to be a soft, calming female?
I'll do it.
All right, do it for me, dude. Get me going.
Bojangles are the Order of the Grey Mages. You are on a quest that will end in misery and death.
Oh, thanks.
Or you can change your fate if you help me.
Okay.
You seek redemption for your grandfather.
Yes.
So if you wish for that to come to fruition, you must find my holy relic in this evil place.
I'll find your holy relic.
Here is a clue.
Spit in my mouth.
What you're looking for.
Sam, I have to tell you, I need you to talk in that voice from now on, just like always.
Yeah, for the rest of the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, for the rest of life. All right. It's new voice.
The mysterious woman bent down, and handed Bo a piece of parchment with an inscription written on it in an elegant, swirling font, which read.
It's still narrator.
Do I have to read this?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Question. Spyro the Reignited Trilogy's box art was revealed at an interesting... What? Wait.
Caveat?
With an interesting caveat.
Yeah.
The text on the box states that an internet connection is required for content.
The bastards.
It was further revealed... Yes, I know. It was further revealed that games 2 and 3 were to be download titles.
Where are they?
I know digital is the way of the future, but with a physical game collection like this, why, oh why, only have one game on the disc, while the other two must be downloaded? Villainy! This split of content might put a damper on potential sales. What do y'all think?
I like how the... I just imagine that in the... Look up at the elf and she's got like one eye looking the wrong way and shit like that. What do y'all think? Nothing against southern people. It's just like this elegant ass like elf comes down and asks a question about Spyro Reignited Trilogy. I love this. This is awesome. All right.
She's got like a bag of dip in her back pocket.
Thou shalt hit that dip. Y'all. Alright.
Are they really fucking doing that? That's what they did with the Resident Evil 6 anthology. You got the one game on disc and everything else was DLC, so you're fucked if you bought that shit like years later.
Yeah. So, we'll go around the table, although Sean kind of already expressed his opinion. What do you think about this?
It's garbage.
You think it's stupid? Well, even, especially with, like, now, the Spyro games weren't the smallest things. And they are completely redone in these remasters. But if you could fit, like... Wait a second. Could they fit GTA 5 on a disc? I don't think they did.
Well, a good chunk of that is downloaded. It takes like an hour to download. Just like Fallout. But you gotta be fucking choking on a bag of 1,000 smashed assholes if you can't think that fucking 3 PlayStation 1 games can't be remastered and still fit on a fucking Blu-ray.
Yeah. Like... The more I think about it, the dumber it sounds.
So yeah, lazy.
I mean they did with Crash Bandicoot, and of course, Crash, the levels are a little bit more linear and not as open as Spyro, but still, I mean, they were able to achieve high graphic fidelity, and they were able to have extra content. So why is it such an issue that you have to download the other two games? I mean, I know that I'm going to buy these digital because that's just the way I do it now. But as someone who, but if a collector who wants to have it on their shelf, you know, it's so dumb. I mean, you have the disc, you have the first game on there, but in order to get the other two, you have to download them. And, you know, most people have internet connection, but still, I mean, you might have people who don't have an access to internet, or they might have a slow connection, or there might be other circumstances that would prevent them from experiencing it, and it's just, it's going to have a split with a lot of people, and just the fact that Activision is the reason why it's happening is, I think, really stupid.
It's a cost-cutting dick move.
Yeah, it is. That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree with all this, like, 100%. What was I trying to say, though? But even if you look at some areas in the States, there are still places where people have to have, like, satellite internet to get anything whatsoever. And even that is slow as dicks because it's satellite internet. And God forbid it's raining or something like that. So there are even places...
Hey, don't include my dick in that comment. My dick can be fast if it needs to be.
I'm sorry. I apologize for my inconsiderate
sensitivity.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm gonna just dye my hair multiple colors and scream at you about everything that's wrong with the world.
Hit it up with HR, asshole. I don't have time for your shit right now.
I will die. I will masturbate in public when we fucking have enough money to have an HR department.
Masturbate. Just imagine you running into the boss, like just slamming your fist on his table.
Running in the middle of a fucking city park where there's a fountain and just jizzing all into the fountain. Oh, God. Like there's small children and birds going by and fucking an old blind dude's playing chess.
And I just imagine obviously the amount of stress on your body and mind as a whole, just for being naked in public and trying to furiously masturbate into a fountain, it's probably not getting out quick. So you just got, I could just imagine you like getting pissed off, running up to a fountain and you start, but you can't finish. So you're just like, come on, damn it. I got to make a point here. Like, you're just trying to beat your dick furiously, but you can't actually get off.
Begging it to grow so that everybody doesn't think you have a tiny dick before you get arrested, or I get arrested in this case.
Come on, little buddy. Come on, little buddy.
You can do it. Show them what you've got. Show them. Come on, goddammit. You can do this.
That'll get you.
I believed in you.
That'll get you right into solitary confinement. They won't even take you to the public. Yeah, you go right into solitary confinement. Sir, he's insane. He's screaming at his penis.
He's still talking to it, actually. He's completely ignoring us. We're really not sure what to do.
I'm not touching him.
Betrayed.
He's naked. imagine that, like having to be that cop to wrestle down the like the angry naked dude with his dick all over the place. I would like, sir, I don't get paid enough for this. Just please.
Oh, I've seen it happen. I was at the beach when there was a guy streaking down the beach and he got tackled by beach patrol. That shit was fucking hilarious. They fucking tackled his ass too. They full on just jumped on his ass and just slammed him into the fucking dirt.
Damn.
And it was like 30 or 40 feet away from me. So myself and my buddy Justin were there just in tears laughing so hard. And we're like rooting him on. You're like, you got it, buddy. You almost got him. Yeah. All right. Now put the cuffs on him. Watch out for that wiener. Oh, well, never mind. It touched you. You'll be okay. Just wash that part extra.
Yeah, bleach that part off. That reminds me. Bruce gets like Bruce is in a state of just constant excitement. Like he does not calm down, no matter what. You're getting home from work, or you stepped outside for like 15 seconds to like bring in the garbage can or something. Just the fact that you have reappeared into his vision, he proceeds to go into like Mach 5 and spiral in circles. So he constantly has a little red rocket going, no matter what. In all states, in all forms of Bruce are red rocket enabled. So he's always just available for whatever. And I was on the bed. And he sleeps in my bed, so I was just petting him, and my hand like slipped off.
I know where this is going.
My hand slipped off, and it hit the bed. But I was like looking at my phone, and he was like behind me, and I was petting him. I'm like, what the? And I felt something wet. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Accidentally give your dog a hand job.
Yeah, I look over, and this boy's just rocking it, and I'm like, oh fuck, Bruce, that's disgusting. I went and took a shower. I felt so nasty. He just looks at me
like to be used.
Look, he just looks at me like nothing's wrong. And then because I left his sight for 15 seconds, when I get back, he just proceeds to elevate himself into like ethereal doghood. He's moving so fast, just fucking insane. He's a crazy dog. All right, let's actually answer this fucking question. So. I know digital is the way of the future, but with a physical game collection like this, why only have split of content? So what do we all think? We think it's stupid. Activision is trying to either something went horribly wrong with the game development and for some reason they can't fit all three on the disc, or Activision's cutting corners. And I'm leaning a little bit more to Activision being a greedy piece of shit than something going on with a development company. Because who's doing the remake, the remaster? The
Toys for Bob, I think.
Have they done remasters before?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if they did the if I'm not mistaken, I think they did the Crash one too, but I'm not entirely sure.
I thought the original developers did crash.
Oh, Naughty Dog? No, because Activision acquired Crash like years ago.
Oh God, that's terrible news.
Yeah, that's why he was on he was MIA for a while, and then they brought him back. Oh no,
Toys for Bob did all the Skylanders shit.
Yes, they did.
Oh God,
and they did Star Control, but they did. Pandemonium wasn't bad, but that was 96.
Let's see what Toys for Bob has
they
also
did,
done.
They did do this. They did do this insane trilogy.
Yeah, 2017. Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Okay.
They've been around for a long time. They did the Horde.
God, dude, they did
a bunch of Disney.
Dude,
shit.
Guys, they did Madagascar 1 and Madagascar 2.
Yeah.
I think we got to give it to them.
And they did Majoko Daisuken, Little Witching Mischiefs.
Holy shit, look at this. This is so.
They did both of them. And they did Pandemonium 1 and 2. Those were good.
This is so 90s anime. Oh my God, the box art. Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, this is 70s anime.
I was actually looking at that when he said that.
Okay, all right.
No, that's more like 80s.
Well, I looked at it. It said 70s. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Early 80s.
When they look like someone's like set the girl down the floor and like proceeded to stomp their face to flatten it. That's how you tell by the age.
And their face is like 75% eyes.
Yeah.
That's where the big eyes, small mouth joke comes from.
God, although anime today still has it, it's still not technically what the proportion a normal human would have. At least it's not like early 2000s, mid to late 90s anime where it, like you're saying, 75% of the face kind of thing. Like that shit just like freaks me out. And just like, at least now it's still kind of out of place, but it looks much nicer than it did. Like it doesn't look ridiculous anymore. So yeah, this is stupid. It's probably going to stay this way, and people are going to be mad, and because Activision doesn't care, and people are still probably going to buy it, mostly because most people that are getting this game will be able to download the game. They won't have a problem getting the future games. We're technically, although I don't know how small the margin is, it's a smaller margin than what Activision, or they might know exactly, but it is a technical smaller margin than the rest of everybody else. And they're kind of just saying, fuck it, and we're going to just cut this corner. And then most people that will get this game will be able to download the rest of it. It will be fine. But then again, like also Sean mentioned, if it ever gets to a future where it's not being supported anymore, the second and third game are not on the disc, you have no availability of playing them.
Yeah.
So at that point, you can't play the remastered second and third game in some distant future. Whereas
that's the garbage thing about fucking the digital stuff is the collecting of games is history. Because now you've got whatever's on the disc, and 20 years from now, when you go to start your system with a Saturn, with a PlayStation, with a Super Nintendo, you've got to worry about getting replacement hardware pieces. But there are companies that devote themselves to new lasers, new assemblies, etc., so people can keep those complicated systems running. But with a digital platform, it's only as long as somebody is willing to put forth the cash to keep the server running that has the data on it. Unless somebody out there can rip the data somehow and fucking hold it somewhere, and then you've got these, like, GOG sites or something where you can go in and download that shit somehow directly from the computer to your PlayStation, which doesn't work because the PlayStation isn't designed to talk to things like that. There's specific software that it uses to communicate, so you'd have to spoof it somehow, which probably involves modding the system just so it can talk to another computer that's not the official PSN server. It's garbage. I mean, there's no way. Like right now, the moment they stop supporting PS3, I have no way to download my entire Resident Evil anthology. I can only play 6. And if I install 6 as a fresh install, it's not going to have any of the updates, the bug fixes, or anything. So we've gotten into this dead zone where you only have the game for as long as it's supported, and then it's out. And it was never like that before, which is the biggest reason why I've never been a proponent of going full digital, because there's no guarantee you will have that item that you paid for. Because there is no physical item, and it's not perfectly play tested when it's released, so you still have a high chance of there being, you know, small bugs and fixes that are necessary. you had those errors on cartridges, but because the testing cycle was so extensive with the hard copy of the games before, where you couldn't update them, you ran into a lower instance of those kind of problems. Those glitches are still there, but you just had less of them than you do now with those first-time releases. Now they've got the luxury of fixing the shit over the next 6 months or the next 3 months or whatever, unless you're Ark and they don't give a fuck. They just add shit without fixing it. But with most games, you're getting it through these successive patches, which is fine now. But when the system isn't supported anymore, you're left in the dust. And there's nothing we can do about it. We can't stop the game industry from moving that direction. You just have to now understand, no matter how much you love your game, you're only going to get to play it for a set amount of time, and then you're likely fucked.
Now, one retort I have to make to that, and it's going to sound super cuntish, but PC Master Race, and that's because everything, like, there's no like heavy like architecture changing, like, besides things getting better. Like, a computer now works in the same kind of way that a computer like 10 years did, although they just keep getting more and more in what they can do. For the most...
No, there's still architecture changes, man. If I try and play a game that I bought in 96 or 97 or 2002, you run into a lot of... You have to do a lot of gymnastics with your computer to get those things to run, or you have to download, like, DOSBox or some shit like that.
It depends, because...
To get that shit to run.
Because I could go in right now...
Figure out a way to do it.
Yeah, where it's just not available prior.
It's like, not possible. Well, no, because of the hardware differences, you cannot do that with... a PlayStation 3 or a PlayStation 4. In the future, you're not going to be able to do that. But with an old-ass computer game, they have emulators. There's ways to fuck with the technology to where you can get it to run, or at least most of them. It may take a lot of work, or you may just have to go and buy an old-ass computer, but that's still shitloads easier than fucking having, hypothetically, if PS1 was online, if you had updates to a PS1 game, there's nothing you can do with that. But with a computer, there's some douchebag out there somewhere who lives in a basement on a couch and has no life, who dedicates his existence to stockpiling software updates for extinct games. Like, that exists. That's a real thing now. So, you know, and I've, as much as I grump about it, the PC is definitely the master race. I just don't like all the money it costs, and I can get a system for $700 or $800, and I don't have to worry about updating it for like the next 4 to 7 years. And then I just get another system and my old one becomes a collector's piece. I like having that thing. I would love to have a PC, but I'm just not financially, you know, fluid enough to be able to do that. So when you're in a position like I am, like thousands and thousands of gamers are globe wide, like, consoles are a necessity if you want to game, and they are fucking us.
Yeah.
To the point where we won't have a choice. We will have to go gameless for a few years to save up to buy a decent rig, because we're getting pushed out. With shit like this, we're getting pushed out. I want my hard stuff. I like to have copies of things. And there are thousands of people that aren't 30 that still want to have hard copies of things. There are people in high school that want to have copies of things. Like, digital is the essence of impermanence to me. Unless you, it's an embarrassing fucking picture where you moon somebody and your balls fell out and somebody posted online, that'll stay around forever. But God forbid you need an update to a Castlevania game and you're fucked.
Yeah, no, I agree. 100%. I do agree. And I think that hopefully as we continue to move forward, we have already lost a lot. Like, if you are, like you're saying, if you don't have internet connection and you need a game from 10 years ago to be patched, it's just not going to happen on an older system. But hopefully as we move forward, as cloud services get better, as hopefully we see more integration of, or what's it called when you can play games that are older that don't technically belong to that system? Xbox is all about it. What's the fuck?
Backwards compatibility.
Backwards compatibility. Hopefully we see more of that, so it's not as big of a problem, so games exist on some server somewhere, because they have to, because it's everything's backwards compatible. So they're still supported in one way or another, even if it is the Commodore 64? Isn't that a PC thing? I'm trying to make a joke, and I don't know too much about old computers. Yeah. But you could have a potato being microwaved in the back of the server room, but at least you have your Castlevania patch on there, if you kind of get what I'm saying. And you can still download it in one way or another because they have to support it because it is backwards compatible. And they know people are going to play it. They know, like with the Wii U, when they dropped the Wii U and they stopped the services for it, although they pissed off a shitload of people, they know they pissed off a shitload of people, they now know, hey, we don't really have to support those games anymore because the system's been declared dead. Yeah. Which is something. So hopefully as we move forward, if we see more, because that I hope if we get a PS5, that all the PS4 games are cross-compatible or backwards compatible, whatever the fuck it's called. We don't know necessarily if PlayStation is going to pull the same shit that they did this generation. They got a lot of flack for it. So hopefully they learn. Hopefully Sony listens to their community. Because hopefully Xbox gets better and they have to or something. Because this generation, PlayStation technically doesn't have to fucking really do anything. Like, because they know they're top dogs. They really don't. They're on a mountain.
They fucking
haven't. Yeah. So
what kind of douchebag releases this? They're trying to release a cutting edge system. They put out the PlayStation Pro, and this is something that pissed me off. And they're like, oh, well, people will stream in 4K, so they don't need a higher definition Blu-ray drive. That will push the price. You know, it's really, as much as I try and blame the game market on the production companies, they're only responding to us.
Uh-huh.
And when gamers got so cheap that they would not purchase a $700 gaming system because it was able to do so much. Because the PS3 came out, they did the backwards compatibility. They gave you all these options. There was like 5 different memory card slots. It was a powerful machine. And it was heads and tails over the Xbox 360. It was just a very, very good machine. But nobody wanted to spend the $700 because gamers are fucking douchetards that are too cheap. My mom sat to buy this thing for me. I think it was for Christmas or my birthday. Sat outside for like 14 hours to get one for me. And I loved it. And if it wasn't for a hardware problem combined with a shitty-ass girlfriend who blocked the vents, and every time she blocked the vents, I told her not to, and because she wanted to have her fucking okay. entertainment center a certain way, and it had to be fucking... balance, she kept pushing against the vents and it banked my system. Aside from that, like that system was golden. And even developers would say it's super powerful, but it's really difficult to write to. If the support had been there for the system, if people had pushed that thing forward, if they had put the money into it, we would be seeing consoles now with the capabilities that we want them to have. We wouldn't have this, it's 30 frames on this game, it's 60 frames on that game. We wouldn't be worried about the capabilities of the drive. None of that shit would be an issue, and the systems would not have skipped the backwards compatibility thing. That would have been a standard across the board for everyone. But because gamers are cheap douchetards, they wouldn't save up a couple of extra months to get the better system. They went with Xbox, and Xbox went bottom of the barrel fucking construction cost. Is why the 360 was as cheap as it was. So when you looked at the 360, which was what, like $3-something, I think, and then the PlayStation 3 was like $699, and if you bought a bundle, it was like $7,000-$8,000. What are you gonna go with? You're gonna go with the Xbox because it's fucking cheap, and then you get to get red ringed in your asshole. But it's still cheap. That's the point. Gamers don't like to spend money, and because of that, it upsets the entire fucking system. So now we have systems
console compatible. Console gamers. Don't work, right? Console I am gamers.
Talking about the consoles.
Okay.
PC Master Cock, shut up. I'm talking about the consoles.
Well, one second, real quick. I looked up.
Console gamers are cheap. They fucked it.
Yeah, I looked up a 4K Blu-ray disc drive, and the price, if you were buying it consumer and not bulk like these companies do, the cheapest I found was $100. But obviously,
it would have raised the price of a system. I think they said $4 or $14. I don't remember which. It had a 4 in it. It was nothing. It was minuscule.
Interesting. I wonder how much they get for bulk. Because the cheap. I mean, this one's 50 on Newegg, but I don't even know if that's 4K. I don't even have a disc drive in my computer.
It was backwards compatible. It wasn't backwards compatible because they wanted to suture the price. It wasn't. They didn't put the higher Blu-ray drive in because they wanted to shrink the price. They cut all these corners, and the only reason Sony pulled ahead was because they didn't fuck up their marketing like Microsoft did. That's the only reason. They didn't fuck marketing. And after that, they managed to nail the first party titles. But if Microsoft hadn't fucked their marketing, the only thing that Sony would have had to pull ahead would have been their perks, and those don't exist. It's technically not any better of a system. It really isn't. I mean, the software library is better, but outside of that, the Xbox One S, One X, whatever the fucking dick nasty new box
the newest
is that
one
they released.
Yeah. That one is technically is better than the PS4 Pro.
It's I mean, it's not huge amounts better, but it's significantly better enough to justify the price.
Yeah.
But the PS Pro isn't.
I wonder what our next generation of consoles are going to cost. I wonder what they'll run. That'd be interesting to
see. Probably between $500 and $700, I would say, depending on the hardware.
Yeah. Yo, we better.
If Sony is smart, real quick. We'll still have the expandable drives, the drives you can change yourself. I love that. I wish everyone did that. That's fucking epic. That's leaning more towards the PC interchangeability. So you can put in a bigger drive. But if Sony does not go backwards compatible, you can be prepared for me to explode.
I think they're gonna lose a lot of money if they don't, because
Microsoft will.
Yeah, Microsoft's pushing hard. Yeah.
Yeah, they're pushing it right now. But I just think that, and I don't want to get into the philosophy of Sony, but again, Sony still has that. And I'm probably ignorant in saying this, but they still are a Japanese company. And to be honest, some Japanese companies still have a old mentality of way they do business. And like Nintendo has still struggled with their online functionality and moving forward as a business online. So it just seems like they're not wanting to take that step to be more consumer friendly.
No, even but the Japanese software companies have called out the console manufacturers for that. A lot of them, like Igarashi and all the big names that have been around for a while, the guys who have tried to push the envelope and evolve their games as technology evolves, have griped about Sony and Nintendo not moving forward, you know, with their policies and shit. But they're kind of stuck because those are the big guys over there. They have to work within those confines. That's why you see a lot of those Japanese developers creating for PC now.
Hey.
I'll go fuck yourself.
All right. So I think we answered this question. I might just make this the main fucking topic since we spent a good amount of time on it and I still don't know what we're going to talk about. And that's good. We started the main topic early. Whatever. That's fine.
We could talk about series that we think have gone foul, like as they've evolved and tried to improve them with the times, that have not improved with the times but have instead gone downward, like Final Fantasy, for instance, or Castlevania.
Maybe save that for next week.
Or that.
I'd have to like sit down and think about that, or I wouldn't be able to add anything to the conversation.
Oh, believe me, if it comes to complaints and gripes about the video game industry, I have a whole entire lexicon and library I can work with.
I think, John, don't you have a PhD in complaining about the video game industry?
I do. Yes, okay. I do. I am a critic. I have the soul of a critic.
Indeed.
Sam, by the way, you fell in love with my twin sister, huh? She's pretty badass, right?
Yeah, she's cool.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I like her. She reminds me of you for sure. All of her complaints and all of her like critiques are, they have merit. They're not just out there.
Can I get some context?
For Lindsay Ellis, she's this YouTuber who does critiques and stuff on movies and TV shows, mainly like Disney, or at least that's what the catalog I've seen.
I'd say about a third of her content is Disney. Yeah. She's a big Disney cartoon fan, but there's a ton of other stuff out there.
Yeah. But yeah, I like her, and she definitely gives a different perspective, especially the one she did on the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 movie. Just really gave me a different perspective and also kind of clarified some things and also reassured some things I was thinking about the movie. So I definitely like her, and you know, that was a great recommendation.
Yeah. Okay. If you took me and removed the rage and the dick jokes and put a killer set of lipstick on me and make me pretty, I would be Lindsay Ellis. Like, if I can find this chick and marry her, I don't even give a fuck what she looks like. Her personality alone makes me love her. Like, it's just, it's epic. When she tore apart the new Beauty and the Beast, I was like, I want to marry you right now. I don't care. You could be, you could be trans with a penis. I don't care. Let's get married.
Hey, some people consider that a plus.
I would not care. Her personality, by what I saw in the videos alone, is enough for me to want to ask her out. Like, she is just, like, her mind is just,
Sean, we gotta watch Ambient tonight, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought about that. We got a lot to watch.
We gotta catch up on shit. Yeah. Did Angels drop? We didn't watch Angels last week, right?
No, and Asobi Asobase came out too. I've already been seeing clips of it on iFunny. All right, so
this is why you need to stay off of iFunny. That shit spoils everything for you.
What also helps me find good anime too. Like, they post shit, like, seeing, I'm like, wow, that looks cool. I'll check that out. So to find,
double-edged sword.
To fully wrap up this question, moving forward, I think everyone can kind of guess what we want to see from video game companies. If you're going to release something physically, release all of it physically. Speaking of box arts, Sean, have you seen the... Sam sent it to me, but have you seen the Kickstarter for A Hat in Time, their physical edition that they have?
There's a physical edition? Fuck that. I'm going to go online and
order it. Aren't they doing like a Kickstarter for it, Sam?
They already did it, and in fact, I think they reached the stretch goals, and I think only a certain amount of backers could get the special edition box art, if I'm not mistaken. They might release it afterwards, I don't know. But yeah, I saw it, and I was like, this looks just like an N64 box art.
So. Yeah, shut up.
I think I just wet myself a little bit with semen. Oh my god, I held off on buying it because I heard they were going to do a physical release, and if I miss that shit, I am going to murder children. Like,
oof.
This makes me sad.
Alright, so thank you for your question, Sam, who's right here.
You're
with
welcome.
Us. I appreciate it. As always, I'll cue the clip now. Cue the clip. Whatever. All night, whatever.
Did Sam kind of ask himself a question then?
Yeah, he did, but he answered it,
no,
so it's fine.
I wrote the script. You just played it out for me.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. All right, let's move forward. We have box office tops. Team. My team of movie experts. What do we think is number one?
I don't know, to be honest.
Mission Impossible.
Yeah, there we go.
Or Christopher Robin. I'd make Mission Impossible probably
Mission
be out
Impossible,
Christopher Robin.
Winnie the Pooh, and I don't know what third would be, but definitely those two in the top two.
Okay. I'm going to go over the top five real quick. At number one, we do have Mission Impossible Fallout, pulling $35 million for the weekend, sitting at a total of $124 million with a budget of $178 million. It is in its second week. Worldwide, it has pulled $329 million. At number two, we have Disney's Christopher Robin pulling $25 million for the weekend, sitting at a total of $29 million worldwide. At number three, we have The Spy Who Dumped Me. No idea what that is. Sitting at 12.
I think that's Mila Kunis.
She's still alive.
Mila Kunis and that chick who helped ruin Ghostbusters.
Oh, no. Nice.
Oh, Kate McKinnon.
What her name is. Yeah, and the thing is, I love Kate McKinnon.
Yeah,
but
I'm not
happy that she helped do
that. I didn't even see that movie, and I'm glad I didn't.
You played a part in this demise.
Yeah, oh, you were part of it. You were part of that sin.
Okay, so that's sitting at $12 million for the weekend, sitting at a worldwide of $12 million. It didn't make any additional worldwide. Okay, at number four, we have Mamma Mia. Here we go again, pulling $9 million for the weekend, sitting at a total of $91 million. On its third week, worldwide, it has made $230 million. And at number five, Minecraft YouTubers who've sworn. at number five, we have The Equalizer 2 pulling in $8 million for the weekend, sitting at a total of $80 million with a worldwide gross of $87 million. So some also some new movies that okay, honorable mentions, I guess. Ant-Man and Wasp pulled 6 million, sitting at 7th place. Incredibles 2 still hanging on, pulling 5 million in 9th place. Teen Titans Go.
The collector's box is $30, by the way.
Oh, that's cool. What, does it come with the game?
I just found it. No.
Oh.
Just a box, and I'm going to buy it.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. Includes a Steam key.
Ah.
What? I don't want...
They should have the PS4 version. Game. They should have a PS4 version. I wonder if it actually comes with a physical game, though. I don't know. Teen Titans Go to the Movies, sitting at number 10, pulled 5 million, cancer. Not really
right,
much.
Will I buy this? Maybe we can give the fucking Steam key out to somebody because it doesn't come with an actual hard copy. It's just a fucking box, but I want the box.
Okay. Hey, dude, if you save it, we'll do a raffle.
Give it out on the, yeah, or something like that.
We'll do a raffle in the Discord. I'll probably, if this does go down, I'll announce it on everything, YouTube, all that other stuff. So,
yeah, but they didn't make a hard copy of the game. They just made the box.
That sucks. You still got to play it, though, Sean. It's really good.
I will. I'm going to buy it for a PS. I personally believe that platformers need to be played on a console with a controller in front of your TV, old school. Like, I'm old school that way. So I am more than happy to play 30 frames per second. And I don't think frames make a big deal on a platformer anyway. I think with a first-person shooter, Twitch-based stuff, yes. But on a platformer, I do not share your high regard for frames per second. I mean, it looks visually a bit smoother, but I don't care.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just... at least for platformers, I would agree. It's mostly preference. I like when things like feel like super responsive, and they're if you're used to 60 and you go to 30, there is a lag that you feel, like a tangible lag that you feel between the two.
You know that's.
But if you're
that's
used
on your TV, right?
I'm playing TV on a monitor all the time. My monitor has a high refresh rate.
You played your PS4 on a monitor.
No. I've played games at 30 FPS.
My point is when you play games on a console, there's always going to be... Because response time and refresh rate are not the same thing.
Yes,
and a TV, obviously. Unless you have one a gaming TV, which you have to look for the fucking response time, most TVs that... Most of us that have these high fancy TVs, or even my little postage stamp TV, the response time is lower. So there is a slight input lag that is noticeable between what you play with an Xbox controller on a PC... And me playing it on the PlayStation, and that's not the frames per second response time. That's your monitor. That's your response time isn't your frames per second. Frames per second is the visual representation, but it's not reading your button presses.
I guess I misstated what I was trying to say. I wasn't referring to. I guess lag was the wrong word to use. Then I guess it's. I don't even know what the fuck I was trying to say.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to eviscerate you like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you did.
I was responding back to what you said. I was like, well...
No, and you're right. Yeah. You're 100% right. I think I set up my... Whatever I was trying to say incorrectly, though, and I don't remember what I was trying to say. It just fell.
What's ridiculous is why don't they make... I mean, they've known for decades that people use TVs to play video games, and they are just now going, hey... Boob tubes had perfect response time. LCDs, plasmas, etc. do not. Maybe we should increase that hardware a little bit so that they do, because we have gamers out there.
You know why? Because they don't. Those gamers don't give a fuck. That's why. No one's complaining about it. So why would they have any need to change it? And people that do actually care, they just go out and get themselves hardware that would apply to their needs. But most common people that play video games just don't give a shit. They don't, because if that was the case, then people would also be screaming. Oh Jesus, you're lagging. People would be screaming other things like frame rate and all that other stuff if they actually cared about it that much. But people who do care, they just go out and get something that will suit their needs, kind of like what I did. Oh jeez, Sean,
robot.
You're Sean. Lagging, robot Sean. Oh God. Always during the podcast, I could sit and talk to this man for 5 hours on Discord and I won't get a single hiccup. But during the podcast, Sean's internet decides to take a shit. Never fails. So that's the movies. Once Sean gets back, we will continue whatever the hell he had to say. Let's move forward, though. We have a few things to look for this week. We have actually a pretty decent release week coming up from the... Ooh, excuse me. From the 6th to the 12th-ish. We have on August 7th, we have Dead Cells is finally coming out of Early Access, coming to PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Switch August 7th. If you have not played that game and you like roguelikes, do yourself a favor. Play Dead Cells. It is a really fucking good game.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Overcooked 2 is actually coming out as well to PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Switch August 7th as well. We have Monster Hunter World coming to PC August 9th. Super excited for that. Okami HD is coming to Switch also on August 9th. We have Madden NFL 19. Everyone respectively boo. So everyone boo it together.
Okay. I want to do a little gripe right here about sports games, especially like simulation games. What they need to do is just have a base game and they're just updated every year instead of having to buy the freaking same thing. All you're doing is you're buying roster updates. That's all you're doing with a freaking sports game. It's absolutely ridiculous. I don't buy them anymore because I play the simulation games. I liked them a lot. I played MLB The Show a while. I got 17 last year. It was fun. But just stop. Just stop making sports games like this. Just do a renewal service every year. Do it like WoW, like that. Makes it a whole lot easier, simpler. But again, they're all about the money.
The only reason they do it is because people buy it. And these sports games... because
people are stupid.
Yeah, but like, not saying... I mean, it's true. But like, the common gamer usually is just either ignorant to the whole industry or they just don't care. Which is why we see NFL and FIFA outsell like actual good games every year and stuff like that. Yeah. Like actual, like, dare I say, even actual games, which sometimes you can say, although there is a game there, it's the same game that's been there for the last 10 years. It just looks
and
nicer.
Yeah, there's improvements to the mechanics and stuff, but again, it's like very minute things, which helps the game because there's certain... Let's see, what the problem with sports games is that there's so many variables. Even with an actual game, there's a lot of variables. Even if you do it down by the numbers, anything can go differently. Anything can go wrong. The team with a 67 score could possibly be a team with a 90 score just because of all the circumstances. And when you try to do that with a game every year, it creates this, this mess that just will not stop. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. It's a little silly.
And I'm a sports fan. I love sports. I love watching football. I love watching baseball. I even like watching hockey occasionally. But you know, it's really hard to like get into something, especially a video game. Like I would love to play. I love to play sports video games, some of my favorite games, like NFL Blitz, Slugfest, all that. But anyway, ran over. I just had the same piece.
Rant number two over. Also coming out on August 10th, we have We Happy Few coming to PS4, Xbox One, and PC, and Death's Gambit coming to PS4 and PC, both on August 10th. Or all three of those are on August 10th, actually. So, got some games coming out. Definitely a big week in games. Dead Cells is going to be awesome. Super excited for Monster Hunter World coming to PC. Death's Gambit looks interesting. We Happy Few has always had me kind of slightly interested. Sam, you have anything from this list you think you might pick up?
I'm going to hold off on buying games for now. I got a few that I'm playing right now, so I really don't want to add on to the pile of current log and backlog, so yeah. I'm just gonna wait. Plus, again, those games will be there, so if I ever want to get to them, I'll just come back.
Yeah, Monster Hunter World I'll be picking up, and We Happy Few is there. I have like a backlog for games that I'm not going to buy, but eventually I'll get to, and it's going to go in there. So it looks interesting, and I like the idea of it, but I don't know if I'll ever play it. It might be a good game to stream because I don't know how big the community is for it. Maybe get some new people that just want to see what the game looks like, that have some kind of interest in it. All right, so that's that. Those are your games to look for this week. Let us know what you guys think you're going to be picking up. If you're going to be joining the, or finally stepping into Monster Hunter World, if you've been waiting for it all this time for PC, which, man, that's quite a wait. Kudos to you, because I know a few people that didn't want to buy it on console because they wanted to fully experience it on PC. And again, kudos to you for doing that. Are you going to be picking up Madden NFL 19 and continuing to feed the conglomerate bullshit that is EA? let us know. Man. We want to hear from you guys. So let's move on to our news segment. We have a few things that happened over the last week. Nothing gigantic, but a few things. We have Red Dead Redemption 2. We'll quote re... Can I help you?
All right, hot miking.
Tyler. Mm-hmm. Tyler over there. Just breathing in the mic really heavy. All right. So Red Dead Redemption 2 will redefine gaming, Take-Two says. Who wouldn't say that? This is by Eddie Mackick of GameSpot. Grand Theft Auto developer Rockstar's next big game, Red Dead Redemption 2, is coming in October, and parent publisher Take-Two has high hopes for it. During an earnings call today, Take-Two CEO Strauss Zelnick said the game will be, quote, yet another creative milestone for Rockstar. Boasting further, Zelnick said Red Dead Redemption 2 aims to, quote, redefine our industry and captivate audiences around the world. Red Dead Redemption 2 is Rockstar's first title developed from the ground up for the current console generation. Oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense. That kind of confused me for a second. Take-Two said, We could not be more excited about the upcoming launch of Red Dead Redemption 2, which is poised to be another massive entertainment event. Zelnick didn't say anything more about how Red Dead Redemption 2 will redefine the gaming industry. Intriguingly, Rockstar... Sam,
move the mic, for fuck's sake. God damn it, man.
He's interested. He's excited. He's looking forward to Red Dead 2.
Oh, my bad. I was the cord, I guess, is making too much noise. My bad.
No, it's you breathing into it.
It's you breathing on it.
I'm not breathing that hard.
Oh, I'm sorry, guys. It's the cord.
Are you using like a headset that you have? Like a...
Yes.
Maybe just the mic little jut out thing is too close to your face. I don't know.
Maybe it is.
We're only laughing because it wasn't doing that before. It's just sort of recently.
Oh, I don't know.
So he's talking about a game and you're like...
It's brand new, so I don't know.
Just super excited for Red Dead Redemption 2, man. All right. While Red Dead Redemption 2 is expected to be a massive success, it is not projected to sell better than Rockstar's previous game, Grand Theft Auto V, the title that has shipped nearly 100 million units, making it one of the most successful titles in the history of the world. Holy shit. So, yeah, that's a
strong statement.
Yeah. Apparently, there's a lot of high hopes for Red Dead Redemption 2. From what I've seen, it looks interesting. Now, do I think it will do better than Grand Theft Auto V? That all depends on how Rockstar handles it post-launch. One of the things that made Grand Theft Auto V so popular is all of their post-launch free content. That's it. What kept them going and what kept it what kept it selling throughout the years is the fact that it was constantly being updated for free, and people were just bringing as many of their friends on to play it with them. So it all depends on if this game is only really good for its single player and people don't really give too much of a shit about the online component to it because they don't do enough to it, then I can't say it will get close to that many sales. 100 million is a lot of sales, and that blows me away that GTA 5 was able to make that. But it's also been out for getting close to like 6 or 7 years, so it's been out for a while. Yeah, that one's that. We'll all be picking up Red Dead 2, mostly because we're all picking up Red Dead 2, so we could just kind of play with each other. I'm excited for it. It's not my favorite game. I'm not a huge fan of Westerns, in all honesty. I didn't like the first one that much. It was okay. It wasn't my favorite game. But hopefully they make me a fan this time around. I don't really know what else I could say for it. So let's move on. We have two new. I went to check.
The fuck?
I went to check the ad and it played a video. Oof. Oh no. Mute yourself, you piece of shit. I don't know why this third tab's open. Don't mind it. Don't worry, guys. We're professionals. All right, our final article. So, the PS4 has sold more than 80 million units, and God of War continues to exceed expectations. This is Eddie Mackick of GameSpot.
Eddie!
Our boy Eddie. Been with us the whole time. Our number one fan. Right, Eddie? Doesn't know we exist. The PS4 has reached a new sales milestone. Sony announced in its latest earnings report that the console has shifted 3.2 million consoles during the quarter ending in July 31st, which pushes the system's life-to-date shipment tally to more than 82 million units. This is up from 79 million units shipped that Sony announced for the previous reporting period. A bunch of graphs that no one gives a fuck about. Sony's video game division, Gaming Network Services, saw sales rise 36% to 472 billion yen, and Sony said it attributes the uptick in sales to the strong PS4 game sales of God of War, as well as other third-party titles, significantly exceeding expectations. God of War launched back in April and became the PS4's fastest-selling exclusive game ever. Sony added that it received strong feedback, blah, blah, blah. And God of War, I think, has pushed over like $101 million in like digital revenue over the time it's been out. I think that's what it was. Let's see. I think it was like $131 million digital revenue for the time that it's been out. It's a shitload of money.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So it's good to see that everyone was screaming that single player is dying or dead, but this obviously points against that. And it's one of the fastest selling PS4 games of all time. So that's fucking insane.
I don't know. Spider-Man might beat him.
I wonder.
I doubt that.
I don't know.
I mean, it has potential. It may not be exact. It may not get exactly the most sales, but I know several people I've heard are gonna buy a PS4 just to play Spider-Man.
Wow, that's. I only bought a system once just to play a game, and I got fucked on that number.
That's what I did.
I bought a Dreamcast to play Castlevania Resurrection, and then they shit canned Resurrection.
Oof. Dang. I bought my PS4 the first time to play Bloodborne. That was the only reason I got it. And that didn't disappoint me whatsoever, so I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did that. And I abandoned all my friends on Xbox. So and that's it for our fucking news article. So we have one more thing we have to do for tonight. And that is read our fan fiction.
Oh, nice.
Our boy Handsome Jack. We're going to read another page from his Persona 4 fan fiction, just because it makes him so giddy. Provide our feedback as we continue to go through it. This will be the last thing we pretty much do for tonight's podcast. So if this idea of the fan fiction does not interest you, I give you permission to leave. You have Kyle's blessing to sign off here. But this will be the last thing we'll be doing for the night. And this is how we're going to do it moving forward. So just keep that in mind. But I did promise him I would read it. So that's what we're going to do. I'm going to move over. I guess we don't really need everyone on it because just Sam. Should we? Actually, let's switch. Sean, do you want to read?
Read what? What?
Here. I know exactly how to do this. You know how I shared my screen last time we... Actually, no, you can't read that. Your phone's too small.
No, my phone's giant. It's just fucking that one thing we were doing. In order to get my symbol out of the text, I had to flip the phone vertically, which made the screen go across the middle of the screen and made it very, very tiny. So I had to microscope the fucking words.
Damn, dude. All right.
I've seen ant dicks bigger than the text I was trying to read.
Well... What we'll have to do is get you in this document by the next week, but I'll just read it this week then. So last time we had what's his face, you coming back from Tokyo, you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to meet back up with the people that took him in for the course of Persona 4. And we're going to continue back from that point. So, once again, he thought back to that first year he had spent in Inaba. A year that began in such a simple way. Getting established, going to school, making new friends, like any kid would. But things quickly took a turn for the worst. What had begun as a normal teen's life had ended in a full-scale battle against a demented deity of old legend to protect humanity and mankind itself, like every Persona game ever. That's exactly what happens. Yeah, let's get together, friendship. Holy shit, there's a god of ancient evil and distortion trying to end the world. But we're all like 15. Let's fight him with our magical Pokemon. That's pretty much every Persona game. So, besides 5. 5 was, like, changing the minds of adults, but... you, Narukami, had always felt slightly bad for Inazami no Okami, as after their epic battle, they had learned she had been split apart from herself. One fragment to fulfill humanity's collateral wish, and one to protect humanity from this very same fate. The mystery behind the strange fog and the world inside the TV. Questions all answered after that one final battle. It had been a long, grueling journey, but with the help of his friends and the strength found within his own heart, he and his small group of friends had prevailed and prevailed in preventing the fall of mankind. This was over 5 years ago, and Yu had simply not had the time to visit his dear friends more than once a year during his summer break, and even then only briefly. But now that he had passed his final exams with flying colors, he could come here to truly enjoy himself. He was not only going to get to see everyone again, but he could finally take the time to properly catch up with each and every one of them again. Yu was shaken from his thoughts by the familiar hissing sound of a train slowly coming to a stop. He grabbed a small backpack containing his precious few belongings that he absolutely needed from the floor. Then, the doors slowly slid open after the announcement that the end station had been reached. He stepped out through the train doors, looking up at the clear blue sky with a smile. "Guys," he began with a happy sigh. "I'm finally home." Yu was happy to see that Inaba was still the same. The station, in particular, had not changed. On some of the walls were marks and graffiti that Yu had remembered seeing the first time he had come here. It gave him comfort. Between the non-stop tempo of the studies in Tokyo U and the intensity of everyday life in a huge city, Yu had felt worn out, weary, tired. The required studying already swallowed most of his time as it was. But to help support both himself and his family as much as possible, he'd tried his hand at some part-time jobs, bringing with him experience and references from those he had attended in Inaba. He was generally well-liked among his many employers and tried to rotate as much as he could to pitch in, and he had made quite a bit of profit on the side. "Hey there," a male voice called out to him from somewhere, disrupting his thinking. He gasped slightly and looked in the direction of the voice before a warmth spread throughout his entire body. I'd seen two very familiar figures, an old man wearing the same gray jacket and pants he always did, which to you was coincidentally very funny because stains of a similar color could be seen in the strands of his hair, and a much smaller little girl wearing a colorful summer dress adorned with many flowers, in addition to a real one in her long brown hair. Ugh, that was page 2. So, before we sign off for the night, any additional criticisms here? Thoughts? I mean, I feel like that last sentence kind of ran on a bit.
Yeah. Again, we have to give him the benefit of the doubt that English is not his first language. But again, I'm getting invested into it. You know, like I said, last week, I never played Persona 4. I've seen the anime a little bit, and I know a little bit of the story. But I just like that this is what he imagines it would be after years after the game ended. So it's always cool to see what everybody would think would happen.
That's what he's doing for?
What? Yeah, he's doing Persona 4. I'm pretty sure.
Four was one of my favorites.
Yeah, four was
that one went pretty fucking dark.
Yeah, dude. Four was a great fucking game. Sam, you need to play that shit if you ever get the chance.
I know. I need to try. Need
it's to. On Vita.
Also, speaking of Persona, fellas, I heard that Persona Q2, which is not out yet, is going to have the characters from Persona 3, Persona 4, and Persona 5 all together.
Whoa.
That sounds cool. So awesome. I need a 3DS. Or at least like the shittier like 2DS or whatever, the one that doesn't, just to play the game. Oh, excuse me. So any final things, anything you guys thought of before we sign off for the night and call it an episode? Yes, no?
Nope.
No? Quite a slow week. As we had said earlier, not much has been going on. Hopefully by the time we come around next week, we'll have actually an invested topic. It's been a long week and a long weekend, so I do apologize. But as always, not every episode can be a fucking banger, right, boys? We can't be perfect.
I don't know what you're talking about. Every episode is a banger.
So, as we go ahead and sign off, let me get my outros from you guys. I want to hear them. Make me moist. Get it going. You first, Sam. I should have told someone to do it. Oops.
Again, publishers and game companies might give us the runaround and might shaft us, but always remember, games will be there, and games Maybe. Are fun, and that's why we play them. Plus ultra.
Indeed.
I don't know what you're talking about. I play games because they make me miserable. What's this fun thing you speak of?
Play games to critique them.
I play games to make myself cry.
Indeed.
Hugs and kisses on your pink parts.
Indeed. And before we go, we call this episode 62 of the Thought Patrol podcast. First thing I'm going to say is I'm going to say thank you for sticking with us. No matter how long it's been, whether it's your first time or you've been here since episode 1, we appreciate you guys for everything that you do for us. Keep us going. It helps a lot. But before we call it, I shall leave you all with a thought. When possums play possum, they're not playing. They actually pass out from sheer terror.